Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Dee. And I was hoping that you'd be singing tonight. Didn't see you on my little schedule, so I had already planned that after the Lord's Supper, I was going to have you come up and sing. You have another one? All right. It amazes me. You didn't have words, did you? All that's always memorized. That's amazing. Who said nope? Who else said nope? How do you know? Oh, I know. Isn't that amazing? Clark and I were talking about trying to memorize some verses like Jesus wept and rejoice evermore, and Dee has all those songs memorized. That's amazing. Anyway, praise the Lord. That's a beautiful song. Luke 22 and verse 32. Luke 22:32. 2 weeks ago, I preached about God strengthening us. I will strengthen thee was the title. And of course, God does strengthen us. But I want to show you something tonight that God showed to me, and just a precious verse, Luke 22:32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. I want to talk to you tonight about be an encourager. Be an encourager. Father, I pray you'll bless the preaching tonight. We need you, need your help. Guide us through the Scripture tonight, and Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll show us what we need to know and help us to be an encouragement to each other. And I pray that we'll realize how important it is, though we cannot possibly realize how much we all need to be strengthened by each other. Lord, may you show us that tonight through your power, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus here is talking to Peter, and he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, he said, that thy faith fail not. Why? Because if you fail, you're going to fall. If you fail, who knows how many people are going to fall? Who knows what the result's going to be if you fail? So Jesus says, I've prayed for thee, but then he says this, he says, and when thou art converted, when the work is done in you, when you get right and you are what you need to be for me, he said, strengthen thy brethren. He said, now I've prayed for thee. And I want you to know, Peter, I'm for you. And I want to encourage you, Peter, because, hey, I want you to do right. And I want you to stand. And I want you to keep going for me. But he says, I prayed for thee. But he says, when you're converted, he said, I want you to remember something. You strengthen your brethren. Strengthen them. Pray for them. Peter, be an encourager. Encourage them. Literally, to encourage is to inspire courage. It's to strengthen. It is to give them courage to go on. Give them courage to keep going. Give them courage to take a stand. Give them courage in a tough time. And literally, to encourage somebody is to, you strengthen them. You give them the strength that they need. By words, by notes, by love, by just the simplest little thing. In this case, Jesus said, Simon, I prayed for you. Oh, how we need to pray for each other. Oh, how we need to tell one another we've prayed for each other. Strengthen thy brethren. Be an encourager. Isn't it interesting? God didn't send angels to do that. He tells us, and I'll show you in the Scripture, he tells us to encourage, to strengthen one another. I promise you this, the world's not going to encourage you. The world's not going to, you know, they're not going to pat you on the back, hey, keep going for Jesus. You know, hey, you know, can you imagine that guy at work that's got all the wicked calendars at his place and he cusses and swears, and can you imagine him saying to you, hey, listen, I'll tell you what, I'm for you reading through your Bible this year. Keep it up. That guy's not going to do it, is he? The neighbors aren't going to encourage you. You know, hey, we've seen you going to church now. You know, boy, you've been to every service. Hey, keep it up. They're not going to do that. No, the world's not going to encourage you. We need to encourage each other. I want to just show you several things tonight. Turn to 1 Samuel 30. The first point is encourage yourself. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. And you know the story. And if you don't, you're about to. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives, are you listening? Their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captives. And then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, it says, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And so now David, he's affected just like everybody else. But now watch, verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. So not only has David lost all that he had, but now the people are trying to blame him for all this. It says, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But then watch what it says. And by the way, there was nobody to encourage David. You know, it always needs to start with us encouraging ourselves. Sometimes there will be nobody to encourage you. Sometimes there won't be anybody to put an arm around your shoulder and say, hey, it'll be all right, you can make it. Sometimes you just have to find a way to encourage yourself, like David did here. Nobody was going to help David. They're talking about stoning him. But the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Look, everybody's weeping. Everyone's angry. David is hurt. He's lost everything he has. He doesn't know that he's going to get him back. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And David simply had to get away from all that, and he had to encourage himself. He had to encourage himself. He had to convince himself to keep going. He had to give himself the strength to just keep right on going. And by the way, there was a great victory after that. A great victory. Now, I'm just saying this. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself. I don't want anybody to walk out of the service and I say, well, nobody cares about me. I didn't get a little note. Nobody cares about me. I didn't get a letter. Nobody cares about me. Nobody came up to me and said kind words to me. I want you to understand there comes a time, and often there comes a time where you just have to encourage yourself. You just have to realize that maybe people don't notice. Maybe people don't care. It doesn't matter. You need to care enough so that you encourage yourself. You strengthen yourself so that you go on. Because eventually, God is going to help you. God is going to provide. God is going to give the victory. Number one, we need to encourage ourselves. And I'm telling you, it is lacking in many people's lives. We like to have a pity party. We like to kind of get in our little corner and pout and everything. And folks, we don't have time for that. And I'm going to tell you why we don't have time for that. Because you need to go on and then encourage, number two, the saved. Encourage self. Number two, encourage the saved. That means other Christians. I mean, you can't. Look, you're sitting in a corner sucking your thumb and people are falling all around you. You know, I have a right. No, listen to me. Nobody has a right. Dee just sang about it. Does he deserve that? Does he deserve for us to quit? He didn't quit. I remember we used to have a camp meeting time at our church at Landmark Baptist, and we sang a song called He Didn't Come Down. How many of you ever heard that? Well, it's a good camp song. We need to have a camp meeting, amen? I mean, that's a good song. He didn't come down. No, he didn't come down. I mean, he could have come down, but he didn't come down, did he? And he doesn't deserve for us to sit in a corner. Huh? We need to encourage ourselves. And I'm telling you, it's lacking. This second point, encourage the saved. Saved people need encouragement. Again, encourage means to give strength to give courage to enable them to have courage so they can go on, so they can keep going. I'm sad that it seems so many Christians, you kind of chuckle when somebody falls. I don't think it's funny. We kind of get some sort of a thrill out of somebody falling because, well, now I must look pretty good. You know, well, oh, somebody's having a tough time. You know, that means that, I must be pretty close to God. instead of encouraging. People are fallen. People are discouraged. People have sorrow. People are being tempted daily. It's almost like, you know, we want to put on our Pharisaical robe and point a finger at people instead of saying, hey, wait a minute. Let me help you. Let me give you the strength so that you can go on. Encourage the saved. Look at Isaiah 41, verse 6. Isaiah 41, 6. It says, they helped everyone his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. He fastened it with nails that it should not be. And notice, everybody's encouraging everybody. Can you imagine that? It doesn't say here, so the carpenter looked at the goldsmith and said, yeah, I can't believe he's doing that. It doesn't say here that the goldsmith looked at the guy that was beating the anvil and whispered over to the carpenter and said, hey, you know, look what he's doing. It says they encouraged each other. Can you imagine? They encouraged each other. It doesn't say they gossiped about each other. It doesn't say they cut down each other. It says they encouraged. Be of good courage. What's that mean? That means, hey, have strength to go on. It means Jesus says, Peter, strengthen thy brother. Don't weaken them, strengthen them. Don't hurt them, strengthen them. Encourage the saved. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Save people. Save people. Opportunities are missed all the time. Opportunities that are wasted because of gossip. Opportunities that are wasted because of carnality, because of envy, because of covetousness. Opportunities to get on the phone and call someone and encourage them. To get on the phone and say, hey, I'm sorry, I missed you the other day. We really missed seeing you in church. Instead of calling somebody up and telling them what a wicked, vile, heathen dog they are. Hey, I missed you. I'm sorry you weren't there. Opportunities for sending a little letter of encouragement. I got a letter the other day and it was just such a blessing. It could not come at a better time. And I'm just telling you, why aren't we willing to do that? A little note of encouragement. A little card. A word of encouragement to somebody. A Christian. Money of encouragement. Amen? You know, you don't have to be a millionaire. You don't have to give a lot. But sometimes, just a little bit is an encouragement to somebody. You'd be shocked how many in this room think nobody cares. I mean, you'd be amazed. I guarantee. If we could put thoughts above everybody's head like a little balloon, like they do in the cartoons, I guarantee there'd be a whole group of folks, and their little thought balloon would say, "Nobody cares," and they're sitting in church, where everybody should care. There's folks going through some tough times, and we can't encourage them. We can't say kind things of encouragement and literally cheer them on. We're in the same family. Did you know that? We have the same Father. We have the same salvation. We have the same home in the future. Oh yeah, we need to encourage the saved. Number one, encourage self. Number two, encourage the saved. Number three, encourage the simple. Psalm 116, verse 6. Now I use the word simple here as the Bible uses it in the book of Proverbs. Psalms 116 and verse 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Isn't that something? The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Everybody started there. Everybody started at simple. There's the simple, there's scornful, there's the foolish, there's the wise. Everybody, you first got saved, you were simple for the things of God. You were the new convert. You were simple. I don't know of anything more frustrating than somebody getting saved and a bunch of Pharisees pointing at them, expecting them to be super Christian all of a sudden. And it isn't going to happen. Didn't happen with you. I know it didn't happen with me. I didn't have a clue when I got saved. Didn't go to church. Had no idea what going to church was about or anything to do with church. Thank God there were some good, godly, encouraging Christians that took me under their wing and helped me. Because I said a lot of really foolish things. And they always just said, "We understand." And I thought, you better understand. I'm right. You know, and it's like, he'll learn. He did. Took a lot of time. Knocking off those. Nowhere does the Bible say we're supposed to knock off the rough edges of people, does it? Hello? Nowhere. Nowhere does the Bible say that we're supposed to be the ones to shape people. Iron sharpeneth iron, but it doesn't say anything about iron sharpening butter. No, God is the one that makes them and molds them and shapes them. We need to encourage them. Had a guy, our first service in Bern, Indiana, first Sunday night, a fella got saved, and that guy smoked. I mean, he smoked. He smoked like a chimney. I mean, it was bad. And I mean, he smelled like smoke. It was bad. And we'd go to visit him and his wife, and I believe she smoked at the time, but she didn't smoke like he did. And we'd go and visit with them, and I mean, it was bad. I had to go home and change clothes every time I visited the guy. Because there's no way I'm going to be the smoking preacher. Amen. Because, I mean, it was like you get around, sometimes you get around that much smoke, and you smell like smoke. And I mean, that guy smoked. It was just unbelievable. And you say, "Boy, I bet you preached on smoking." Actually, I didn't. Because even as a young preacher, I knew that God was going to have to work in that guy's life. I'll never forget, he and I went soul winning. He came for soul winning. And he smelled like a cigarette. I mean, he smelled like he rolled in an ashtray. I'm serious. And he got in my car, and it was bad. And we're driving, and I'm thinking, where can I go to take this guy soul winning? Because they're going to think we've been out to the bar. And I wrestled with that, And finally, we went somewhere and went soul winning and had a real good time together and everything. And I wanted to say something, but I didn't say anything. And he wasn't smoking while we were going soul winning, by the way. You know, you're thinking, yeah, he's got a cigarette hanging. No. That night, he said to me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm a bad testimony." I said, "You are?" And he said, "Yeah, because I smell like smoke, don't I?" I said, "You do." "Yeah, you really do." And I remember spending several days trying to help him quit smoking, flushing his cigarettes down the toilet. And it's amazing where people hide cigarettes, you know. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But you got to let God work on people. Encourage the simple. We're supposed to try to help the simple and try to encourage the simple, and somebody gets saved. Isn't it interesting? We're potty training and we'll clap. I mean, we'll give reward for something silly like that. But we don't encourage those who are new converts that are babies in Christ. And we can't clap for them because they made it to church. Instead, when they miss, we look at them like, "What? Don't you get it?" You should clap for them. You should rejoice. You should say, "Hey, boy, I'm glad to see you. Boy, it's good that you're here." Instead of, "Well, I thought they really meant it." Amen. Encourage the simple. And by the way, while we're on that, I think about new members and make new members feel comfortable. Make them feel comfortable. Don't make them feel like they're weirdos. You know, don't make them feel strange. Make them comfortable. This is new to them. They don't know you. They don't know what we're doing. I know where I've gone to church, different churches and that. It's been very strange when you go to a new church. And it's a very difficult thing. Make people feel comfortable. They're new. It's different for them. Encourage them. Don't we want them to stick around? Amen. Seems like we would. Encourage yourself. Encourage the saved. Encourage the simple. Number four, oh, I love this. Encourage the senior citizen. Look at Leviticus 19. You know, we get all bent out of shape, and we should, over the abortion issue and how the world and our country is murdering millions of babies. But let me just throw something in here. There is another group that I believe is mistreated as well. And that's the senior citizen. Leviticus 19 and verse 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, that means gray hair, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. We need to encourage the senior citizen. You know, we're in a day where, again, little babies in a womb, well, they can die. No big deal. It's an inconvenience. It won't be long, and they'll be saying that about those that are not healthy. They'll be saying that about the aged. But I got news for you, folks. My God says we are supposed to show respect, and we need to encourage. You know, some of you teenagers need to show respect, and you need to encourage. You need to help senior citizens. You need to be a help to them. You need to be a blessing to them. You need to listen to them. And when they tell you to quit running or quit messing around or don't get on our furniture, you need to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Amen. Why? Because you encourage them. They're just old and grouchy. Doesn't matter. Encourage them then. By the way, they may have a good reason to be grouchy. Hello? I got news for you. Some of you teenagers, you don't show the right respect to our elderly folks in our church. And I've just about had it. Because, you know, you don't have any idea what some of these folks go through every day. You don't have any idea what they go through all night long. You don't have any idea. You don't know what it is to get up and barely be able to get out of bed and walk. And you say, well, you know, they had their time. No, it's still their time. As long as they're still here, it's their time. We need to encourage them. How can I help you? What can I do? How about talking to some? Say, hey, is there something around your house I could do? Not for pay? Is there something? Oh. How can I help you out, sir? How can I help you out, ma'am? Hey, listen, could I rake your leaves? Could I paint something at your house? What can I do to be a blessing to you? That might encourage some of them. Could I just come over and sit and talk to you a little bit? Boy, that'd encourage a lot of folks. I appreciate our young people going to the nursing homes. I hope you don't do it just because you do it. Because you know what? Older folks aren't stupid. And they figure that out. Oh, listen, we need to encourage the senior citizens. We need to encourage. The senior citizens are why this church is here. They paid the price. They sweat the sweat. And they bled the blood. And they fought the fights. And that's why this church is here. Show respect and encourage the senior citizen. Number five, encourage your spouse. I love Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 24, 5. Encourage your spouse. By the way, if there's anyone that we think ought to make, we don't have enough of this going on. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 5. It says, when a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. Ah, isn't that good? Wow! Forget it, Caleb. I saw that. I can't see very well, but you sit too close. I imagine she's cheered up when you bring home the paycheck. Amen. You know, it's okay. Oh, we need to encourage our spouse. You know, it amazes me how we take each other for granted. Hello. Let's get on that for a minute, all right? All right, let's do. You know, well, she's supposed to clean. When is the last time, seriously, last time, sir, you said, honey, the house looks so clean. Thank you. Several husbands are saying, well, when was the last time the house was clean? I'm not going to get in on that one, but I don't know, sir, if you didn't throw your clothes in the corner, it might be clean. If you weren't such a pig. Yeah. By the way, that might encourage your spouse. You know, one thing that is always exciting, because my wife's gone, I can say all this now. But I can say this, because whenever she comes back, the house is always clean, always. Guaranteed. Clothes are washed, dishes are washed, house is clean, everything's the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, you know, well, it's her job. You're an idiot. You know what I want? Here's what I enjoy. I enjoy her walking in the door, and in fact, I probably, and I'm not sure if I'll do this or not, but sometimes I do, I will have flowers on the table, hello, fresh flowers, because she likes that, and I love it when she walks in and says, honey, it's cleaner than when I left. Amen. You say, how do you do that? Well, I don't ever go home. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, you ought to see my back office. It's bad. But no. But, you know, find ways to encourage each other. Yeah, you know, I've had guys say to me, yeah, my wife's always a grouch. Well, who is she with all the time? Amen? I mean, seriously, you know, if my wife was always a grouch, I would have to look one place to find out why she's so grumpy. And I would have to say, okay, what am I doing? Huh? I mean, seriously, folks, encourage your spouse. Wives, encourage your husband. Okay, times are tough. Finances are tough. Encourage him. Tell him he's your champion. Not Chuck Champion. Tell him how you know you count on him and you know he's going to do it, and encourage that guy. Don't drag him down. Encourage your spouse. Number six, encourage students. Matthew 10:42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. We need to encourage students, the children, bus kids. We need to encourage them. We need to tell them, keep going. Oh, I know, they let you down. I know, they do some unique things. I don't want to embarrass Brittany, but I'm going to anyway. But you know, when I first came here, Brittany was the terror of the church. I mean, she was in trouble a lot. You say, what'd you do? I just tried to encourage her. She'd get in her ghetto language. And, you know, and she'd get after me and this and that and all those things. And I'd just look at her and say, just do right, Brittany. It'll be all right. Amen? Yeah, it's okay. Hey, Brittany, we love you. It'll be okay. Yeah. Right? Keep going. Now, I'll be honest with you. You know, well, I'm not so sure. Let me just say something. I'm really trying to be careful here. But if you had to grow up like she grew up, I'm not sure how you'd be doing today. She might be ahead of you. Hello? I'm just saying, you don't know what everybody goes through. These kids, you don't have, these little bus kids, some of them are just, you know, I listen to them over next door to my office on Wednesday night, and they'll say all kinds of things. And Brother Stewart and Brother Rincon and Brother Waters, you know, they handle that real well because, you know what? I don't know what all they've been through. I don't know what those little kids have gone through. So what do? We encourage him. Brother Stewart, he'll say, okay, let's work on a badge. I don't want to work on a badge. You know? And they really don't. I want to go to the gym. I want to play in the yard. I want to, you know, well, we're going to work on this verse, you know, and they do. But you know what? Hey, listen, guys, it'll be okay. Boy, we love you here. We're glad you came. Come again. What? I mean, it's all they get like that in many cases. Do you understand what I mean by all they get like that? I mean, they come to church and people love them. Encourage students. Encourage our Christian school students. You know, it's not, you know, why do you have to look down your long nose at them all the time?
Well, I saw them doing something that I don't approve of.
You ought to try to imagine what they did that you didn't see. Strengthen them. Strengthen thy brethren. Help them. Encourage them. You know, why do we have to have our sheriff's badge on?
All right. I'm the sheriff. You're dead meat.
You know, seriously, if we would encourage the students, the young people, the public school kids. You know, Brother Caleb's going into the public schools and having Bible clubs. How many schools are you in now?
High school, Madison, and middle school.
Madison High School, Adrian High School, and Adrian Middle School. And he's having Bible studies. Now, I don't even want to know. So if anybody goes to jail, I'm innocent. But you know what? Now, he's going to go in there and he's going to encourage young people. Okay, well, is he compromising? I don't know what you mean by that. He's going to tell them the truth. But he's going to also encourage them. Hey, you know what? There's a church over here that cares about you. We run buses. We spend lots of money on diesel fuel every week so that we can bring people to church because we want you in church because we care about you. You know, and hey, you know what? You can make it, young person. You can make it. You don't have to be on drugs. You don't have to be an alcoholic. You don't have to join a gang. The gang can't love you like we love you. The gangs have nothing for you like we have for you. We have a bigger and better thing. Oh, I know they'll tell you they got bigger and better, but it's going to lead to worse and worse. Our bigger and better leads to bigger and better. You know, sometimes they're going to look down at you like, you're nuts, you're crazy, I don't want that. But some teenager is going to say, you know what, I think I'll go there. I think I'll do that. Encourage students. Number 7, encourage sinners. Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Watch this. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Notice what it says. That her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That's talking about God's chastening hand. And what's he say? What's he say to the people, though? Comfort. Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably. What's he saying? He's saying, encourage them. I don't know about you. Do you enjoy watching sinfulness take place? And then the result. Do you enjoy homes being broken up? Lives being destroyed? I'm amazed how people will gossip about sin as if it pleases you. You know what I'm talking about? Because you talk about it so much. I don't know about you, but if I find out Kathy Morin stole something from a store, my heart's going to be broken. I'm going to weep. And I'm going to say, Kathy, listen, you don't ever have to steal anything. I'll help you. I want to encourage you. Why in the world would we respond any different? Now, Kathy would never do that. I picked her because I knew you knew that. Had I picked somebody like Brother Kelvin, might have been different. No, I haven't caught him stealing yet. But I've known a whole lot of sinners. I've known a bunch of them. I've never rejoiced over any of it. Never felt so good about it that I would call people and tell them. Never. If I found out that John Schauber did something bad, you better not. I'd go to John Schauber and say, hey man, let's make this thing right, okay? Let's get this right. You say, well, of course, preach, that's what the Bible says. Then why would you run to Michael Moorbach and tell him? And then talk about it. And talk and talk and talk and talk about it. As if that's going to help anybody. But what you should do is encourage the sinner. Well, I know we want to stomp the sinner, right? But I thought that was God's job. I know this, whenever I've been chasing, God's done it. I've had a whole lot of Pharisaical sheriffs think they need to do it. We need to encourage sinners. I know of several people who used to come here. But they got backslidden and people said things to them that weren't words of encouragement. Right. Well, I want to let them know what they're... They already know what they're doing. Right. You don't have to let them know. Is there a God in heaven or not? Why do we feel like we have to let everybody know? Now, I preach hard. I preach very hard from the pulpit. I preach on anything and everything. Whatever God puts... Whatever's in that book, I try to preach on it. And sometimes people get mad over that. Understand? These aren't people got mad over that. These are people got mad over something you said. Because they're not right with God. You say, what's their own fault? I understand that. But I thought you could have encouraged them. I try to encourage them. I want sinners to come. It's kind of like going down there to the hospital and saying, hey, put up a sign that says, no sick allowed. Aren't we a hospital here? This isn't a country club. And I got news for you. There isn't anybody here who's just squeaky clean. Not sitting in this room. We're standing here. There isn't any of us. Just, we're squeaky clean. We need to encourage the sinner. Encourage him. Encourage lost people to come to church. Encourage him. Somebody doesn't look like the rest of us. Encourage him to come to church. Somebody doesn't act like the rest of us. Encourage him to come to church. Encourage him. Encourage the sinner. Number 8, encourage the struggling. Oh, my people are struggling. 2 Samuel 11, verse 25. I've just got a few more, so stay with me. It said, then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make the battle more strong against the city and overthrow it, and encourage thou him, why, to win the battle. We need to encourage those who are struggling. I don't know about you, if you really look around, we can't afford casualties. I don't know if you watch the back of the bulletin to see the budget. We can't afford casualties. I know. There are folks, you know, well, that's the preacher's fault. I know. You got to always blame somebody. But I'm just telling you, we can't afford casualties. By the way, I tithe. It's not the preacher's fault. Oh, there are people struggling all around. You know folks that are struggling. You know people that are going through a tough time. Encourage those that are struggling. You know, honestly, there are so many how-to books out there, how to feel better, how to have joy, how to have peace, all those things. If you just find somebody who's struggling and encourage them, you'll answer most of the how-tos. I'm just so stressed out. Help somebody. You'll find out that'll take care of most of your stress. Amen? Some folks never have a good word for anybody. I don't understand that. We're Christians. There are so many trials represented in this room right here. People are struggling. There's financial situations. People are struggling. We have a whole group, a whole nother group of kids going off to college now. Some of them, it's going to be a struggle. Encourage them. I can't believe anybody would tell a college student that's going off to college, say anything negative about them going to college. You ought to hit the altar. You know, I don't like their college. I'm not sure God likes you. To criticize a young person who's stepping out by faith to go to Bible college. And you would dare, instead of saying, I'm so proud of you, you would dare to criticize just because you don't happen to believe that way. Every one of our students, every one of them, knows their preacher has backed them at their college. 100%. Why? I'm for them. And you know what? I back them at the public college too. Why? Because I'm for them. I'm not worried about where they're going to college as much as I'm concerned about them. You listening to me? I hope you're listening. You know, we need to get this stuff settled about colleges and everything. Amen? Get the little chip off your shoulder and be for the kids. Be for the young person and encourage them. Well, I'm loyal. You're not loyal to him if you're not loyal to our kids. Struggles, battles, all of it. And you can do it. You can encourage these folks. A little card. I'm praying for you. It's a battle. Financial battles. $10. Amen. Right along with this, number 9 is encourage the sorrowful. Widows. Widowers. Do you ever think? Do you ever stop and think what they think? I know the deacons, like myself, we just have a wonderful time at the widow's banquet. In fact, it's now widows and widowers banquet. We have such a good time. It's a shame we just are able to do that one time where it's just special. But it is special. But there's folks that are hurting. I mean, just hurting. People lose a loved one. I know it's not your loved one, but it was their loved one. Encourage the sorrowful. And then the last thing, number 10, is encourage the servant. I don't know why we want to tear up God's people. I've never understood somebody has given their life, for example, to teach your child, and you want to tear into them. Because little Cecil wasn't treated right by the teacher.
They said something about my little Poinsy Dexter.
Oh, poor little baby. I've never seen anything like God's servants getting attacked when they should be getting encouraged. The devil attacks them, and then God's people attack them. And all they are is trying to serve. I mean, this guy loves your teenagers. He loves your teenagers, that's all. I mean, he's guilty of that. Somebody says, is there a problem? See, that's your problem. That's what you think. I'm trying to get you to encourage people. Yes, and that's sad. Yeah. I knew there was something going on. We'll get on the phone and talk about it afterwards. Yeah, my wife would get after me about that look I just gave. 2 Chronicles 35. This is the last point. And it really isn't that long. Unless people look rebellious. 2 Chronicles 35. Verse 2, he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. He gave them their job, their place, what they were to do, and then he wanted them to have the right spirit to do it. Now, I don't know about you, but I would want a staff that has the right spirit. I would want a staff that's strong. I'd want a staff that's not going to quit. But they get tired. They get discouraged. They need encouraged. Deacons need encouraged. Families need encouraged. Teachers need encouraged. Bus workers need encouraged. Nursery workers, they need a miracle. I don't know how they do it. Honestly, these people should be, I mean, it ought to just be automatic to you. But instead, we want to look at people like, I wonder what they're after. What are they trying to do? They just love you and they serve you. I think of our Christian school teachers and they could get double what they're getting if they taught in a public school. I think of our volunteers and people would dare say something about them other than to encourage them. Write a little note to the teacher. You know, forget apples, $10. Amen. Where's the teachers? Brother Caleb, fine, that was weak, brother. You might get a dollar. I need encouraged. Let me show you something. Deuteronomy 1, verse 38. Two more verses, but no more points. See, I told you I was on my last point. I know. Look happy, that'll encourage me. Oh, that's bad. Deuteronomy 1, verse 38. It says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him. Why? Well, he's a leader. For he shall cause an Israel to inherit it. That's why. Deuteronomy 3, verse 28. You say, I knew you were after something here. I am. Deuteronomy 3, verse 28. But charge Joshua and encourage him. And by the way, charge there doesn't mean to send him a bill. Charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. For he shall go over before this people. He shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Hey, do you want the land or not? Leaders have something to do with that. Read your Bible. What they say about Joshua said, encourage him. Encourage him. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Encourage the servant. I'll tell you, the thing that encourages me the most is when people do right. Honestly, that is the greatest encouragement. You don't have to say a word, just do right. Wouldn't that be something? I tell you what, that'd do it. Do right, do your job, give. That's encouragement. Be faithful, that's an encouragement. Do all to the glory of God, that's an encouragement. To me, anyway. The little notes, those are great, but I'm telling you, people just do right. That is so good. I've had so many victories in this last week. Just a lot of great victories. And victories because of people just doing right. Well, you know, I made this decision. I'm going to do this. That's so encouraging. So encouraging. Encourage your teacher. Encourage your preacher. Encourage the servant in the church. 10 people, 10 groups. Encourage yourself. You say, you left me out. No, I didn't. I've got you encouraging you. Amen. Encourage the saved. We should be encouraging each other. Encourage the simple. New converts, new members, people like that. Encourage the senior citizen. Encourage your spouse. Encourage students. Encourage sinners. Encourage those who are struggling. Encourage the sorrowful. And encourage the servant. And if we would do that, be an encourager. If we could be an encourager, could you imagine what that would do to this church? Could you imagine what that would do to this community if we would just help strengthen each other? Jesus said to Peter, Peter, when you're converted, strengthen thy brethren. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In just a moment, we'll give the invitation. How many would say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart. Pray for me." Would you raise your hand all over? Just slip it up. Pray for me. Father, bless the invitation. Help me to be an encouragement to folks. And help us to be an encouragement to each other. And when we're all alone, God, help us not to quit, but to encourage ourselves. And I pray that you'll bless now the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You have a decision to make tonight. As the instruments play, if you need to come, pray about something, you come.